Your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 4. Does anybody know how long I've been here as far as pastor goes? Four. Going into the fourth year. Did y'all know that? Somebody says, it seemed like 15. I've been here. It's going into our fourth year, and I'll be honest with you, I still got a lot of stuff to learn, Galatians chapter 4. I still got a lot of stuff to learn as far as being a pastor is concerned. I've been in ministry since 2007, and I've done a lot of things in ministry. I've homeless, drug addiction, boys' homes. I pastored a church, but it was a train wreck. I went into it. It was a mess. Nothing like this church when I came into this. When I came here, this church was very, very healthy. Been through a little bit, but it was healthy. The first 2 years here seemed like a marriage, like getting married to somebody and working it out. And it's almost like you guys had been through another relationship and I come from somewhere else. Y'all, just bear with me. I'm going somewhere, I promise. And I'm trying not to get emotional because I want to stay where I want to stay on it. But now I know that I'm your pastor. You know, there's things you go through with people, and you can have good or bad or indifferent. I hate to see y'all hurt. I hate to see you go through stuff. Pray for you. Try to be there when I can, be what I can be to you. But the one thing that I found this last weekend that made me know is because for 4 years, all I want to do is take what God gives me out of this word and pour it into you. That way you know what you know. That you know what you know. I don't care if somebody come and said something, you'd say, nope, that's not what we know. And this week I was struggling. From this last Sunday, I struggled. Because there were some things said from this pulpit that I don't agree with. I just don't agree with them. There was a lot of stuff that I do agree with, but there was a couple of things that I said, I don't teach that way, and I don't preach that way. And it really set a fire in my heart for you and for me. Because what I want is I want anybody and everybody that walks in these four walls and sits down knows that they've got an opportunity to know Jesus and to serve Jesus. Amen? And I don't care where they come from or what they come from or what their background is. If God gets a hold of them, He can use them. Amen? And I want y'all to be able to say, that's not it. So for the first time in Galatians chapter 4, God absolutely had me right here. I've been studying Galatians for 6 weeks. For my own personal stuff. And I feel it. And God's right on time. He knows exactly what we're doing. So y'all listen. And I want you to listen to what I say. And let it get down into your heart and your mind and you know what you know. Are y'all ready to get into Galatians chapter 4? Because I want to give you what Paul said to the Galatian church. A church that he planted. A church that he started. A church that he knew was his. I know you're my church. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. Are y'all with me? Y'all seeing that? Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Do y'all see that? But he is under tutors, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Let me give it to you this way. He said a child in his time, if he was raised with the servants or the slaves, was no different than any of the slaves until the Father said, I see you as a child. In Jewish custom, the father made the decision when the son was ready to be a child. Amen? What was to be, let's write this down, a mature son. He was a mature son, but wasn't recognized. Do y'all know the story of the prodigal son? I hope so, because I preached it a lot here. All right, the prodigal son. That's why it's so arrogant when the prodigal son, the younger son, goes to the father and says, give me what's mine. What he's saying in that custom is, not only are you dead, he's saying, you don't get to tell me that I'm a son or not. I do. That's why it's so offensive. That's why when Jesus taught it, everybody there went, right? Can I just go, I know I don't want to preach that whole sermon. Can I give y'all one more part of that? Do you know when everybody went like, when the prodigal son went, give me what's mine? Everybody went, do you want to know another time when everybody in that story went, is when he said, and the father saw him while he was a great way off and ran to him. Every grown man during that time went, that's not possible. You know why? Because in that culture, a father never runs to a son. It was a disgrace. You know what? God, y'all, bear with me. I'm going somewhere. Watch this. You want to see something cool? You know why? Because back then, they didn't wear jeans. They didn't wear pants. They wore a long skirt, right? Oh, everybody's like, no, don't get me started, but it is. So for the father to run, some of you women know what I'm about to say. He had to hike his skirt up and show his legs. And two things a father wouldn't do in that culture is run to a son that's disgraced him. And number two, show his bottom part of his legs. But what he was saying is, God ain't like everybody else's daddy. God's just waiting for you to turn. Man, I wish y'all could get that. Man, y'all, just stay right here with me just for a minute. God will make himself look like a fool for you. He will make himself look awful for you. When you made yourself look awful, when you made all the mistakes and discredited your last name and ruined your family name, God said, well, you did that, but guess what? I'll ruin who I am for you. Some of y'all need to get happy every once in a while. That is pretty cool. God wrecked himself for you. He made a fool of himself for you. Thank God. So that gives you a physical understanding. That child is under tutors. He's just like another slave. All the slaves look at him no different. No, knowing one day he's going to be an heir, okay? Now let me give you the spiritual side of it. The spiritual side, 3 and 4. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Okay, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Look, when y'all go back to that one part right there where it says, bondage under the elements of the world, the elements of the world are like this. They're like this to a kid. You got to wear this to school. You got to put that on. You got to wear that. You got to put those shoes on. Come on, dads and moms, help me out just for a minute, right? When you're under the authority, under the bondage, you don't have no say-so. You get up, you eat your breakfast. You put that on. I don't want to wear that, Mom. I don't like it. I don't care. I paid good money for that. You put it on. Right? Unless you're Scott's kid and you get to wear a space helmet. I just had to throw that in there. But what I'm saying is you have rudiments. You have rules to follow. When we were kids, when we were under the law, it told us exactly what to do. But you know what? Jesus then became what? He came down in the flesh and done away with that and adopted us. And I know y'all been hearing this since you've been in church, but it's a whole lot different. Adoption in this sense is amazing. Let's look at it real quick. I want to show it to you. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, his
of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Automatically, God made you a full son. A full, listen to this, independent, mature child. You might want to write these two things down. There's only two things you do to a child. You give it direction or you give it correction. Amen? Listen, I hope you give this. You give it direction. If it's a good, mature child, it'll take the direction. If it doesn't take the direction, you give it the correction, and then you come back and give it the direction again. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Listen, if it's not a child, you can give it all the direction and all the correction. It will never follow through with it because it's not a child. So when we come to the house of God and somebody says, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this, you can do that until you're blue in the face. If you don't have Christ in you, you can try to be better your whole life. It won't work. The only thing works is if you get Christ in you. If Christ gets in you, I'm going to be honest with you. He directs and he corrects and he's good at it. Some of you, he's really, really good at it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all say, well, he's right. I'm going to be honest with you. He's one of the best dads. Because he'll just say, Kevin. And he knows how to get that one voice. You know what I'm saying? Kevin. Hello. When I've gone too far this way or gone too far that way. Amen? Let me give you both ditches. When I've got loose goose. Amen? Loosey goose. I just do whatever I want to do. Oh, come on. I can get kind of rebellious. Anybody else in here can kind of get a little rebellious? Okay, God don't like that either. Amen? All right, Kevin, you're just showing out. Get over here. You know what I mean? Then I can get too strict too. Okay, I'll overcompensate. I'll be super strict. No, not that either. Amen? Get somewhere where I can work with you. All right? That's it. That's his direction, his correction. And if you push it far enough, you ain't got to tell a saved person too many times they're doing the wrong thing, because when God gets tired of repeating himself, he'll start correcting correctly. And guess what? You'll be looking up at the ceiling going, okay, God, I got it. You can get me up anytime you want to. Amen? Jacob walked with a limp most of his life. God put his hand on his forehead, an angel wrestled with him, and he let him fight for hours and hours and hours. God, I wish y'all get the Bible's awesome. Fight, that's what it looks like when you fight against God. And Jacob had enough. You had enough? Come on, y'all. You had enough? And the angel said, yeah, there you go. Smote him on the hip, made him limp the rest of his life. Best limp he ever had. Why? Because after he corrected him, he named him. You're no longer Jacob, you're Israel. Amen? All right. But I want you to see this. It's one of the neatest things about adoption. That you, when you adopt a child, you can forsake any of your regular children, but you can't forsake an adopted child. But can I tell you something you can't do? You can't do it. I don't care how hard you try. You can't put your nature or your DNA in an adopted child. Amen? God can. Amen? God, I don't know how he does it. He's the greatest scientist that's ever been. He can take one plant and make it another plant. Amen? But guess what he can do here? God can take his spirit that's in Jesus Christ and supplant it and put it in you. Not only did he adopt you, he made you him. Woo! Y'all, if y'all ever get a hold of this, listen, I'm going to give you a verse. Listen, y'all just drop all your stuff just for 1 minute. Listen to this. This will ruin every religious doctrine, every legalism you've ever heard in your whole life in this right here. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And you're crying, Abba, Father. Listen, it's a word. Listen, it's used three times in the New Testament Greek. Jesus used it when he was being baptized. He said the Father. When it was recognized it was the Father spoke, it was Abba, Father. It was Daddy.
That's what that means, dad. Listen, I love my father, but when I was really, really, really wanting to get a hold of him, when I really, really needed him, I didn't say, hey, Ronnie Shelton. I didn't go, hey, father. I said, hey, dad. Remember when you're doing something, you want him to see, you want him to hear, you go, hey, dad. Because that's a different relationship. It's very intimate. It's very personal. And it means everything. I probably spent most of my young years, first, second, third, fourth grade, you hear this a lot. Hey, dad. Hey, dad. Hey, dad. Hey, dad. Hey, dad. Watch. What's this? What's this, dad? Hey, dad. What's this? I don't know where we lost that spirit. Because that song he sung, we should be saying this all the time. Hey, dad, watch this. Hey, dad. Hey, dad. Hey, dad, watch this. Hey, dad, watch this. I'm about to do something for you. Amen? But see, he supplanted that spirit in us. So when we're doing, hey, listen to that. Can I use a person every time in here, and I hate to do it, and I hate to embarrass him, but hey, Gary, you got sons? Which one's your favorite? Huh. Okay. Terry, you got children, right? Which one's your favorite? I thought you'd say that. You got sons, right? Sons? Which one's your favorite? They look alike, act alike, do all the same stuff, wear the same clothes, have same personality, exact. Mom's saying, listen to mom. And you still say you ain't got a favorite and you just love them both? Because you're their... You're their dad. So you love them no matter what. Terry, you love your kids because you're their dad. Have they always done the right thing? You ain't like sitting right there. I know the truth. Have they always done the right thing? No, I know. Yeah, exactly. But you still love them equally. Even though they did. Same thing for you, Gary. Ain't always done the right thing. But if you say that, if somebody said, are those your boys? I'm about boys. No matter what. That's what God says when we get saved. All of his commandments, all of his rules, all the things he put in established. But when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died for your sins and he got in you. And every time he sees you, he don't see the rules. He don't see you breaking them. He says, there's my son. There's my daughter. I love them. That's the Spirit of God. And listen, I'm a dad. I know there's nothing in the world. Somebody said, what could your son do that you'd stop loving him? Nothing. Nothing. Don't have to agree with him. We'll tell him the truth and try to correct him. But at the end of the day, that's my heart going there. And I'm going to do everything I can to make him good and me less than. That's what God sees you like. That crushes the law. That crushes it. That kills it. He should have never put it in there that he said, Abba, Father, Daddy. Because daddies love their kids. Period. End of story. Amen? Ain't that neat? Well, it goes a little bit further, and I came to preach that way. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Whew. You're no longer a servant. You are a mature child. You're a mature son or daughter of God, and he sees you that way. And an heir. An heir means, listen, if you've been pinned down as the heir, there ain't nobody can take that away from you. Watch Paul. Watch him. Howbeit, then, here's the meat of what we're getting into tonight. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, listen, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, God, I love that. Can we slow that down? Watch this. He's saying, before nothing worked before you met Jesus. Good? God, I wish I had some real people in here every once in a while go, I tried it. I tried church without Jesus. It's impassable and impossible. Sorry, y'all. You get that later. Listen, Listen to verse 9. I love how Paul wrote it. He didn't erase it and go back. He just stopped. It's something like I do. He stopped in mid-sentence and just wrote it the right way. Listen, y'all get with me right here. One verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, right? You see it? Kevin, you see it back there? Watch this right here. Because remember when we kind of mistaken it. When we first met God, we thought we met him, or we got him, right? But look what Paul does. Before it, he corrects himself kind of right here. He says, or rather, are known of God. Can I give you all an illustration? It's whether you know God or he knows you. It's a big deal like this. If you know the president, or the president of the United States knows you. If you go to the White House and stand on the front lawn and go, I want in, because I know who the president is, right? But if the president don't know you, you ain't getting in. Because everybody knows who the president is, usually, right? But if the president walks out there and goes, hey, there's Scott, I know him, tell him come on in. That's what Paul just said. He says, I know God. He goes, no, rather than that, God knows me. God. Man, I know it's Wednesday night, and I know, but one day, God, the one who created it all, is going to walk up to you and say, hey, Peyton, good to see you. God who flings stars into the universe. God who spoke everything into existence in 6 days and took a rest day on 7. Made everything in 5 days. Made man on the 6th day because he didn't need any of our help. Whew. That kind of God, that God is going to look at you one day and know you by your exact name. I've been loving you since I formed you in the womb. I was there that day that you finally broke. I sent my Holy Spirit and you didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You were drawn by him. I sent witness after witness after witness to you. And then I finally sent the Holy Spirit. And I remember the day you got saved. I went in my little book. Everybody in here, well, we used to do this. You used to have a baby book. And man, probably online now. My mom used to show it to me. Here's your baby book. Right? Here's your name. Here's your footprints. Here's your handprints. That's when you was born. God's got a different name for it. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. It gets better. I didn't want to get happy, but it gets better. He said, I pinned your name here in this book today. You got saved. You'll live with me for an eternity. And if y'all want to really get sassy, the Bible says, and your names are engraved in the palms of his hands. Some versions change that and say it's written or whatever, and that's okay. I'm fine with that, but I kind of like the engraved part because I remember when I used to write things in my palm of my hand when I cheated on tests. You could smudge it out. But if you engrave it in there, can't get it out. God looks at his hands all the time and says, I remember them. Whew. That's how much he loves you. That God, he's going to meet you. Amen? If God's big enough to put all of our names in the palm of his hand, he's bigger than all the problems you got too, by the way. I just wanted you to tell you that. Listen to this. But now after you've been known of God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. He said, you have tried to go back to establish your righteousness. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are not good enough to be a Christian if you don't do what they think you need to do. You're a Christian if you believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's enough. And if God works on you and changes you and molds you and makes you, great. But praise God, if somebody says, if you don't wear this kind of clothes, and if you don't do this, and if you do that, you're wrong. Listen, you look at them and say, I don't know why God saved me, but he absolutely did. I'm not perfect. He knew me from the jump. And he's got me. And I'm going to end right here. Look what Paul says. And as the pastor of this church, I'll stand on this to the day I'm either done here or I'm in heaven. Listen to what he says. I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He's like, I want you to know. I want you to know that if anybody comes through that door and tries to tell you that Jesus is not enough, you need to tell them, no, thank you. He was enough. He's enough. I might not be what you want me to be, but I am Christ Jesus's. And he's still working on me. He's still working on me. When I went up to Billy Graham's museum, Ann Graham Lotz is there. Is that right? Yeah. His wife. She's buried there. He is buried there now too. And we went to the museum and we walked down. We went through the garden and that's where she was buried. And on her tomb it said, thank you for your patience. The construction has ended and I'm now made perfect. You know where she got that from? They were stuck in traffic due to the construction on the road. And the sign on the construction said, thank you for your patience. We're still working on this. And one day it will be made perfect. And she turned to Billy and said, I want that road on my tombstone. But thank you for my patience. I was under the progress of being constructed. I am now perfected. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but there's no perfect people on the face of this planet. We're all under construction in one area or another of our lives. And some things are very visible and some things are not. Sometimes there's some construction going on underneath the surface. And it's just as much as important as the surface is. And then there's some stuff going on that's a wreck out on the surface. But guess what? On the inside, the foundation is very, very, very strong. So be careful when you look on somebody on the outward appearance and go, they're not as good a Christian as others. But you might be surprised. That person right there might have a heart after God and loves God and probably prays for you. Amen? That's the message. Let's all stand. Scott, if you got a song, come.